This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and ThisPipeLife.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How are you doing
tonight? I'm doing good. I got my voice back from last week, dude.
I know. Yeah, you actually sound pretty good.
Yeah, I sound pretty good. Yeah, I think it's... I'm going to blame it on this bourbon blue that I've been smoking over the past week. It's that stuff that we talked about on our show with our tobacco reviews last go-around. And man, I've just really enjoyed it. It's super tasty. Yeah.
Man, that's good stuff.
Yeah, what's going on with you, man?
Oh, well, you know, I've been busy. It's been a very, very busy last couple of days. And part of the reason it's been busy is because I haven't been getting as much work done as I'm supposed to be doing. And the reason for that all falls on the head of one Mr. Mark VV.
Oh, really?
Yeah, let me clarify this a little bit here. So I got a message from Mark a while back, and he messaged me just like saying like, "Hey man, do you want a Nintendo Switch?" And I was like, yes.
Isn't that the thing that's like, it's kind of like trying to find a unicorn? You'll have to forgive me. I'm not, you know, very versed, but like it's the new Nintendo product. You can't find it. Everyone's having trouble getting it.
Yeah. You'd have an easier time finding Dave Chappelle in 2003 than you would finding a Nintendo Switch right now. It is very, very difficult. And I know this because I found him in 2003. That's a whole nother story. Here's the thing though.
I forgot about that story.
Mark VV messaged me and said, "Hey, I got Nintendo Switch. Do you want one?" And I'm like, "Yes, definitely. Absolutely. I do." Cause he even kind of played it off in his tweet, like, "You know, if you want it, let me know. If not," like, as if I'm going to say no.
Right.
So I messaged him. Situation was that he had two, didn't need one of them. He thought he wasn't going to get one from one. He was kind of hedging his bets, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's great.
And so he ended up with two of them. And so I compensated him for the price of the thing. He helped out a little bit on shipping, which, man, brother, I thank you so much for. And that thing is awesome. I have been playing The Legend of Zelda like nonstop.
Wow.
Yes, and I'm not even into The Legend of. I wasn't into it, but now it's amazing.
Your kids already think you're like in a coma or something. They're like, "Mommy, when is Daddy coming back?"
You've seen the Switch, right?
No, I don't even know what it looks like.
So it's like it's a tablet, but it's also a gaming console, and you can take the pieces off. And the great thing is that the controllers are so small that my 4-year-old is actually able to play some of the games with me.
And that's cool.
So it's a family thing.
Yeah. You're investing in your in your family
memories that you'll never forget. Playing Bomberman with your child. So,
that's right.
Anyway, big ups to Mark VV, brother. Thank you so much for that. It plays like a dream, and I have been. It has been keeping me from getting work done though. So I'm just gonna blame you on that one. But thank you so much.
What do you think of my mug?
Wow. Is that Jordan?
That is Michael Jordan. I'm drinking Boodles out of a Space Jam number 23 Michael Jordan mug.
Man.
I went home this weekend and my mom found this and she was like, "What do I do with this?" And I was like, "I'm taking it to the Squire."
Oh yeah.
So, you know, it is almost gin season, but I had to, you know,
and it is basketball season.
Well, in the South, we are, you know, kind of deliberate about the whole Easter and Labor Day rule, right? So there's no white clothing, no seersucker and no clear liquor before Easter and after Labor Day. And so I couldn't make it one more week. I just couldn't do it. So.
You made that rule up. No clear liquor between Labor Day and Easter?
I'm telling you, it's a thing.
That is not a thing.
Go ask all your little friends that you went to high school with that went to Ole Miss. They'll tell you all about it.
I don't have anybody that fits in that category. Just kidding. If you're out there and I forgot about you.
But look, it just goes, don't you think it matches my Sheraton nicely?
It's Jordan. It looks like... It's kind of creepy, man, because, you know, his head sliced off in order for you to be able to drink out of it.
Yeah, it's like drinking out of someone's skull.
Here's the question. Do we have any listeners that have any contacts that could, like, get that thing signed for us? You know what I mean?
Ooh.
Like, I would wager the likelihood that probably somebody's connected in some form or fashion to Space Jam, but Jordan specifically. Because that would be phenomenal.
I looked that thing up to see if it, for those of you not watching live, I've got I'm drinking out of a Space Jam mug.
Oh, we'll put a picture up on Facebook.
Yeah, it has the visage of Michael Jordan and the handle is the number 23 with the Space Jam logo. And look, he's just sitting on the scale. That's great. And, you know, he's just, I'm just drinking gin and tonic out of him. And, it's good. I looked him up on Google to see if I or eBay if he was worth anything, and unfortunately he's the going rate for this version of Michael Jordan is only about $12.
Look, Space Jam and all surrounding merchandise, I would imagine, should fetch a heavy price. That was an underrated film.
Yeah, I agree.
And let's not forget that's when the whole, you know, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day.
Bo hasn't had anything to do.
Spread my wings and fly away.
All right, we've had enough.
All right, sorry. All right, so yeah, like what are we? I know that Pappy Joe is already counting down the minutes that we've started this program and haven't mentioned pipes or tobacco once. That's not true. You did talk about how the Blue Ribbon has been saving your soul a little
Bourbon
bit.
Bourbon Blue, yep. Yeah.
And that's good. That's good. You know, I've actually been smoking my Savinelli unfinished.
Yeah, your
Savinelli.
Unfinished pipe. That's great. You got that only, a couple months ago, right?
Yeah, it's my newest pipe.
Yeah.
And nice. I've really, really been enjoying it.
The quality of them is great. It's what you'd expect from a Savinelli. But the thing is, you know, they find these little blemishes that, you know, put them off into this pile where they don't feel comfortable putting their more premium stains on them. And so you get Savinelli Briar. You get the briar that's been aged all the same amount of time as any of the other stuff. Mm-hmm. They're drilled properly and they you know, the shaping is great. But it's just, you know, they have these little flaws that they don't want to finish up. And so you get this awesome pipe for just peanuts, you know. They're great.
I get very self-conscious on a lot of my pipes, too, like that I'm worried that I'm going to mess it up or,
yeah.
You know, with the way the char goes around. But yeah. There's something about the fact that, like, the unfinished nature of it means you're supposed to mess it up, if you know what I mean, like in terms of, like, smudges and everything else, like that's part of the experience.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, like, there's almost like a relaxing element of, you know, it doesn't have to be this amazing work of art. I mean, it is, but it's more of a work of art like that I helped create.
Yeah, no, that's right. And you just don't, like you said, you don't have to worry about it as much, and it becomes yours because it's literally your filthy stain, Bo, that gives it color.
Hey, but no, I did have a question for you though.
Yeah.
Before we dive into the episode here tonight, and that is that I have been storing my tobaccos. I realized that this all kind of occurred to me, especially as we were talking about cellars and such recently. I've been cellaring my tobacco in my closet, but the problem is that my closet is actually attached to like the bathroom and the shower and stuff.
Yeah.
Which means that, like, you know, shower means condensation.
Sure.
And
moisture.
And, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong here, but moisture is kind of a no-no for a tobacco cellar.
No, I mean, I think, you know, depending on the amount, are your tobaccos, Bo, are they stored in the tins, or have you put them in some kind of jar?
Both and.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, it, honestly, it's probably fine. I think what I'd be more concerned about is if your pipes are there. Now, if your pipes are there, you know, moisture, you know, anytime you've got that much of a prolonged exposure to moisture on, I mean, we're talking about, you know, a plant that's been shaped and you know, fitted with this ebonite or acrylic stem, that moisture over time is just going to, you know, have more of an effect on that. So I would be more wary of that.
But well, good.
I think your tobaccos are fine, to be honest.
All right. Fair enough. Apropos, is that'll kind of tie into the show tonight. But hey, before we do that, we actually need to give a major shout out.
Dude, yeah. Right.
So those of you who've been listening for some time know, we've got the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club that we started earlier this year. By the way, a big shout out to those of you who've already sent in your artwork to be considered for the logo for the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club. Loving seeing those and look forward to getting more of those in as well. But man, our club has grown. And in fact, we need to welcome into the club Mr. Miller, who is our official 60th member.
Man, that is wonderful.
Of the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club.
That is wonderful, man. Miller is such a good friend of the Country Squire and Country Squire Radio. Man, he's just got such a gentle spirit. Actually was able to come to our Briarworks trunk show and has been in a couple times recently. Man, it just such a great guy and has such an interesting background and loves his pipes and loves pipe tobacco. So man, we're honored and certainly appreciate your support of our show for making this happen. And man, number 60, that's a big deal.
Number 60,
that's a big deal.
That is a huge deal, and it can only be topped by, and I almost feel bad about this because we also have 61.
Yeah, we do,
you know what I mean, right? And so it's like we want to give a shout out to 61 as well, and we don't want to discount it.
And 61's a big deal.
61's a big deal. 61's a big deal. And that is to Mike Armstrong.
Man, who Mike is a very good friend and very long time smoker and customer and friend of the Country Squire. He actually goes back to the Country Squire from the 70s, which is really awesome.
Bro.
So Mike is just such a such a great guy. And man, it was actually the first person, you know, if you're a member at the highest level in the Country Squire Radio Pipe Club,
that's right.
Your name goes on a brass plaque on the wall here at the Country Squire.
That's right.
Right. So that's a thing. Like if you join at the Squire level.
At the Squire level, that's $5 right. an episode after a year of membership.
Right. Then after a year of membership, then your name actually goes on a brass plaque on the wall here at our shop, a physical thing that you'll be able to say, hey, in that distant redneck town that I've never been to at this dusty old pipe shop, my name is on the wall.
Do we qualify as a redneck town? Really?
Yeah, close enough. But just roll with it. It works. Right. But anyway, you know, but Mike was actually the first person to ever get on the wall. His name was on the wall before anyone else.
So, oh wow!
He's literally one of our most loyal customers. And
he's doubling down.
So doubling down, baby.
He's doubling down. I love to see that. Well, hey, consider joining the Country Squire Radio Pipe Club. $3 an episode to become a pilgrim. $5 an episode makes you a squire. We've got some great things that are given to each group membering. And I am pleased to tease, but not yet announce, that there's going to be some things coming down the road for club members and such.
I hope you talk to me about them before we...
We've talked about anything. It. We've
okay.
talked about
okay,
it.
Okay, good.
You just forgot.
No, that's great. I'm good at that.
but anyway, so more to come on that. Stay tuned. Exciting stuff to come. But yeah, welcome Miller and Mike Armstrong.
That's wonderful.
Into the International Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club. So you guys are awesome. All right, man. Anything else? Any other kind of housekeeping items?
Man, no, I think that's it.
Let's
dive in. I'm excited.
Let's go to the beach, my friend. So last week we did a tobacco talk episode in which we reviewed two tobaccos, one of which you're enjoying right now.
That's right.
But the other was Panama Jack. And from that conversation, from the review.
So many interesting comments on Panama Jack pipe tobacco.
We really did. But the thing is, we talked a lot about the branding, kind of the quote unquote lifestyle branding of Panama Jack. And specifically this idea of, you know, like hashtag beach life, right?
That's right.
You know, like this idea of, you know, they want to convey in everything they do the sense of being at the beach. The tobacco, the flavors of it really definitely speak to that. But I kind of made some comments about, well, that's ridiculous because why on earth would you smoke your pipe at the beach? And we've gotten we've gotten some feedback. I've gotten some pretty severe pushback on the whole, you know, hashtag noob.
No, yeah. I mean, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the thing. When you think of when you think of the beach, you don't, you know, your mind necessarily doesn't go straight to the pipe. You know, you're right. Thinking more along the lines of sand in my toes and you know, rhythmic sounds of the waves.
That's
and
right, yeah.
Your ice cold Corona with lime,
I like Dos Equis.
If you're, you know, one of the many red blooded males out there, maybe a you know, nice view of bikinis and things of that nature.
Only my wife.
I'm
trying to get
wife.
Me in trouble here,
but. Yeah. But you know, a lot of folks, they also think of smoking their pipe and that's just, you know, part of it. What do you do to relax? Well, you smoke your pipe, and what better way to combine that with, than with going to the beach? So yeah.
Well, and
it'd be fun to talk about.
So that's the great thing. We got a lot of different feedback. And kind of there was a lot of, you know, yes, you definitely should smoke your pipe at the beach. This is my experience. And then a lot of people are like, yeah, I'm with you. I really don't want to fool with it in the midst of everything else that's going on. And part of our listener feedback is kind of a gathering of some of those comments that we'll have later on in the episode. But I think based on the fact that there is so many different thoughts on this, and that there are, in fact, best practices that go around it, it's worth taking a look at. I mean, we are right here building up. It's still a little colder than it should be, but we are building up to vacation season.
No, that's right, yeah.
And so as you're planning your beach trip, as you're getting on VRBR and doing what you need to do to make sure you got everything ready for a fun in the sun time with the beach, how can I bring my pipe and actually be able to enjoy it and incorporate that into my beach experience?
Yeah, and I think there's some best practices to look at here. So this is kind of an odd episode, obviously, for a lot of folks. Maybe you don't go to the beach, and like we said, maybe when you go to the beach, you're not exactly thinking about taking your pipe with you. But it's one of those things where, you know, if you're an avid pipe enthusiast like, you know, myself, you know, when you go to the beach, it crosses your mind. Well, it's like, okay, I've got my beer check, suntan lotion check, beach towel, you know, all these things, and then you got to have your pipe. So you know, it's just part of it. And yeah, it is kind of a frustrating experience. It's one of those things that you kind of have to be committed to. And frankly, sometimes those of us that even enjoy it aren't always all in. You know what I mean? Because sometimes you just want to go to the beach, and your goal is to just kind of go to sleep and wake up sunburned. You know what I mean? Occasionally, that's what you want. But anyway, there's a lot of things to consider when you think about taking your pipe to the beach. Among them are, how will you light your pipe once you're at the beach? How will you keep it lit once you're there? You know, how will you protect your gear from things like the water, salt water, sand, and the sun, and the heat of the sun? You know, all these are kind of things that aren't necessarily in your regular wheelhouse as far as thinking about smoking your pipe. But when you go to the beach, you have to keep in mind, you know. I don't know if you've ever, gone to the beach, and I'm sure you have, Bo, you've taken your cell phone with you to the beach. And if you leave your cell phone out in a certain location, it gets so hot you can't even use it.
Matter of fact,
your iPhone, my iPhone will even say, like, hey, like, my temperature's too hot, like, do something to me. You know, like
Siri is starting to recognize temperature?
She's really advanced.
This is how we get Terminators, people.
No, you're right. It's bad. Yeah, but you know, so you've got to think, like, okay, if it's having that much of an effect on my phone, obviously this wooden pipe that I'm smoking, is going to have an effect too. So you've got all these things to consider, and that doesn't even include which things, like, which pipe is going to accent your beach bod most. most adequately.
No, that's good.
That's very good. Yeah, yeah.
Like how they say round is also a shape. You know, are you in shape? Well, yes, I'm round. You need a nice round
pear.
Pipe. Maybe a nice pear or brandy shape pipe. And also, which blend is most likely to attract the honeys?
The ladies.
Yeah. So maybe it's not old Joe Krantz,
depends on what kind of lady you're trying to attract.
I know. I mean, that's exactly that's fair. That's fair. But anyway, this is not your average pipe smoking session, so that's something to kind of think about as you're prepping for this. So just a few things you might want to keep in mind. Pack your pipe ahead of time. Okay, just trust me on this. I'm gonna need you to trust me on a few of these things before we even go there. But you're going to the beach. Bring two pipes and pack them before you go to the beach.
Oh, yes, sir.
Like, just pack them before.
That's an old fisherman's trick, too.
You think about all the things that are going on while you're out there, and then you add into that, the wind blowing and an incredible amount of activity and, rustling around when you've got, you're trying to manage your drinks and the sun and the wind and, people walking by and all this stuff. Just go ahead and pack your pipe ahead of time.
That's good.
And try to pack it. What I tell folks is, try to pack it kind of tightly, too. It seems like that does a little better when you get out to the beach. And we'll talk about that a little bit in a second. But go ahead.
Well, on the packing it ahead of time, I one of the best advice I ever got from a listener was about fishing with my pipe. He talked about packing ahead of time. And actually, what he advised doing was using like wine corks. And actually, packing it down, then like plugging a wine cork on top of it.
Almost like it just kind of holds it in, preserves it, or whatever, kind of, keeps it ready.
Depending on the size of your bowl, too. I mean, you could also use like a Buffalo Trace cork as well, which is, it's kind of nice because that's a little bit flatter on the top. But I'm a big fan of pre-packing.
Yeah, pre-packing. So, you want to do that. Choose a medium to a large size pipe bowl. And I think this is wise for a number of reasons. Like I said, pack the bowl as tight as you can, so that you feel comfortable with it. And we'll talk about this later, but tamping your pipe while you're on the beach is going to be a little bit of a challenge as well. So a tighter pack, something that's going to, help your pipe stay lit where you don't have to tamp it quite as much. And then choose a well broken in pipe with a good amount of cake. This has I mentioned this for a very specific reason, right? When you're on the beach and you've got the incredible amount of wind that typically blows on the beach, not only are you going to have trouble getting your pipe lit, but also that wind is going to create a furnace inside your pipe. And so, we've talked ad infinitum about, these poor smokers that, they stick their pipe outside the, their car window while they're driving or something. And by the time they pull it back in, there's a huge hole burst in the side of their pipe. With that amount of wind going over your well-lit pipe, you know, the amount of heat is just incredible. And so it really can damage the pipe. So take a well-broken in pipe and something that has a thick bowl that will kind of protect your hand for some of that, from some of that heat that's there.
Man, yeah, you're exactly right. It's amazing the impact of wind on fire. Right. Like the way that it just feeds it.
No, absolutely.
We were doing a campfire a couple nights ago with the kids, and it was just a crazy windy night. It was right before, right as kind of that cold front was coming through town. And so we were thinking, oh, this will be kind of our last chance to do it. We build up the fire. And it's amazing because, like, you know, you can have kind of a small fire that'll go down to coals and nothingness, but then all of a sudden a burst of air comes up and then whoosh. The whole thing goes crazy.
Yeah. And it's the same concept with your pipe. So you have to be careful. Of course, our good friend Justin Griffin, who lives in Vermont, Justin, you know, had this real strange problem he couldn't figure out. His pipes kept burning out.
Right.
You know, he's in Vermont. The only time he can smoke during the winter is outside. It's you know, the breeze are gusting, you know, these really cold, blistering, you know, high wind environment. And his pipes keep burning out, you know, and he finally figures out, oh, it's the wind that's doing this. You know, it's the amount of wind that's going over the bowl at that time. So corn cobs work great. Obviously, you know, we love corn cobs on the show, specifically of a certain kind that we'll talk about later. But corn cobs work great. And, you know, the thing about corn cobs is, you know, you're not having to worry as much about the finish of your pipe or, you know, obviously, you know, they're relatively inexpensive. So, you know, if it drops into the sink or whatever, you know, you don't have to worry about it as much. Another couple of types of pipes that are great for the beach are meerschaum and morta. Meerschaum and morta, you know, don't have the characteristics where they're as sensitive to heat as briar does. So briar smokes great. Briar seasons great. Briar is much more readily available. So most of our pipes are made of briar, and we love briar. And, you know, obviously most of our favorite pipes are made of briar. But meerschaum and morta are much more resistant to that intense level of heat. You know, you've got people that'll smoke a morta pipe over and over and over without having to rest it, kind of thing. And so so these are pipes that might be something to think about for the beach as well.
So it almost sounds like the more porous, the better.
Yeah, I mean, I think if it's like, you know, just a material that's really, you know, durable as far as it comes to heat. So I'm trying to think of something porous that would not work well. Like a sponge.
Well, yeah. But you know what I mean, right?
No, I know.
I mean,
yeah.
That's, you that know, all sense. Of those morta, meerschaum, corn cobs, I mean, these are all known for their ability to breathe.
Yeah, no, they breathe really well.
Yeah.
So another thing to think about is you want to bring a handkerchief or some kind of little towel or something to go with your pipe. Now, I say this for a real specific reason. So, you know, I bring like just a little cloth or a handkerchief with me. Actually, wherever I take my pipe, it just kind of stays in my pipe bag. But the handkerchief is nice because, you know, you're out there among the elements. You've got salt water flowing around. You've got sand. You know, you might have some errant, think about like errant sunscreen and stuff like that that's on your hands. Mm-hmm. And you're going to need to take these, you know, kind of get rid of these elements away from your pipe before you handle them and touch it and that kind of thing. So you can dry your pipe off with it when it can, you know, contacts the spray or, you know, any kind of salt water. You know, wipe the ashes off of your tamp, which is nice. You don't want to, you know, the only other, you know, material you're going to have at the beach is your beach towel and maybe your swim trunks, and you don't want to wipe your you know, your tamp on your beach towel that you're about to dry off with.
Yeah, so, it wouldn't be good.
You know, so you know, take your little handkerchief out there, and then and also it doubles as kind of a nice place to set your pipe on in a pinch, like when you have to, you know, refill your beer or you know, go tip the lady for bringing you the pina colada or whatever. Yeah
it makes sense.
Right.
Wait, how do I get the lady to bring me a pina colada?
I just, you're not going to the right beaches.
You're clearly not.
Yeah. Bring your favorite lighter, and bring a lighter that is very durable, obviously, but also has a very consistent, strong, soft flame.
Okay.
So, you're going to have folks that are, you know, you're going to be tempted to bring a torch lighter, right? You're going to be tempted to be like, well, you know, I don't use a torch lighter on my pipe. And, you know, you got one because maybe you enjoy cigars or something. But, you know, we have several listeners that, you know, use torch lighters on their pipe. We never recommend that. But people do it, and people get away with it, and people have figured out ways to protect their pipe in the middle of that.
I don't see how it's possible to not – I mean –
No, people have gotten systems down on how they kind of, you know, if you hold it at just the right angle when it's turned up to just the right amount,
sure.
You know, you can use a torch lighter on a pipe. But so you might be really tempted to do that.
Don't they do the downward angle torches? Or am I making that up?
Well, yeah, but those are soft flames.
Okay.
So there's a difference. You know, when you're lighting a cigar, you're using a torch that has a really hard flame like this. You know what I mean? So
right,
something that's like a jet flame. And that's just so hard on a pipe that, you know, typically you don't want to use that on a pipe. So you might be tempted to use a torch lighter like this at the beach. Stick to a soft flame, but try to bring something that's really robust. And frankly, bring a Bic lighter. Bring a Bic lighter that you bought at the gas station. Like, you may be one of these snobs that's like, oh, I only use sulfur-free matches, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And that's great. I mean, we all have those moments. But trust me, if you're going to smoke your pipe at the beach, just bring a Bic lighter.
Right. Yeah. I mean, to some extent, when you're combating the weather, you're going to have make some trade-offs.
Yeah. No, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So another thing you'll want to bring is a check tool. When I say check tool, we're talking about the three-way pipe tool that we all find all over the place. It's just the thing with the tamp, the pick, and the spoon on it. You know, you're not going to have a lot of chances to repack your pipe while you're out there. And so, you know, take the check tool and take it because it's got this pick feature on it. And so if you need to kind of adjust the leaves or whatever, you can use it for that. A lot of people won't think about this, but you'll want to bring something to put your ashes in as well. Okay, so we're trying to think of all the things that you're going to have to deal with when you're on the beach, right? So, you know, you smoke your pipe, you've got the leftovers, and you don't want to leave them in your pipe. So you've got to think, okay, what am I going to do with the ashes? So, you know, bring some kind of trash bag or some kind of little can or something that you can put your ashes in. Typically, you know, if you let them kind of die out and sit there long enough where the embers burn out, you know, you can just put them in whatever, you know, trash bag or whatever you bring to put your empty, you know, Coke cans or beer bottles or whatever in.
Okay, this is a judgment-free zone, right?
I think so. We're all family here.
Yeah. Okay, so
yeah.
I almost always, if I'm smoking my pipe and I'm out in nature, right?
Yeah.
I almost always smoke it down to the very just bare minimum ash, right?
Okay,
like you know, charred down ash. I have, and maybe this is wrong.
I feel like you're about to drop a bombshell.
Well, I'm just saying, if there's anybody from Parks and Rec listening right now, just grant me some grace here because I'm learning. I didn't know, but what I did in the past, or better yet, let me restate this. I know someone who in the past may have, in similar situations, like just dug a hole and then just like, tapped out right on top of the hole, then buried the remaining ash. Look, after, of course, it was out, because only I can prevent. I mean, only he could prevent
this person that you know that is not associated with either of us,
who may or may not have actually done this in the past without knowing.
That's right. So let's just think about what's happening here. You're in a beach environment. We want to be responsible enjoyers of this kind of environment.
Exactly.
And so you know yes, it's ashes. It's a a natural product of fire and plant matter and all this other stuff, but we don't want kids maybe digging it up and getting their fingers nasty, or seagulls or pigeons flying around with nicotine poisoning or any of that kind of. Have you ever seen a pigeon with nicotine poisoning? It's really tragic.
I think
Sarah McLachlan did some kind of commercial about it. It's really, really awful. So
in the arms of the pigeon.
Is that with the nicotine poisoning? With the nicotine. Yeah, it's really bad.
Uh-huh.
Think about these things. I don't know. Use your best judgment. If it's just a little bit and you want to drop it off on the sand, that's great. Go for it. But just think about it.
No, but I'll go ahead and throw this out here because we're having a few folks tuning in mentioning that what they like to use is tins. Like just bring in an empty tin.
Yeah, just an empty can.
Yeah,
empty tin. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, and then finally, of course, the big one that I've omitted thus far that you have to have when you're on the beach is something that we haven't talked about very often on Country Squire Radio, but that thing is a
tequila.
Tequila, that's right. with the worm. And that thing is the wind cap. A wind cap is a very simple device. It's this kind of spring-loaded little screen that goes on the top of your pipe. You can find it at any pipe shop that's worth its salt. Of course, we sell them here at the Country Squire, but you can find them at other retailers as well. But pipe caps are nice. They generally fit any small or medium-sized bowl. Not every large bowl will be able to take a wind cap just because of how they're designed. But what the wind cap does, it provides a variety of functions, but the chief of which are, it's going to help you keep your pipe lit, once you've lit it. So you've lit your pipe, the wind is going to, it's going to try to put your fire out because it's just blowing so dramatically. And so it's going to, the wind cap is going to help it with that, but also it's going to let it burn cooler as well. And so, when your wind cap is on there, the wind interacting with your tobacco is going to be less. And so therefore you'll have, a cooler smoke, and it'll protect your briar. So you're helping keep your pipe lit with the wind cap. You're also protecting the briar, with your wind cap. And so wind cap in a real high, extreme weather environment like that, anytime you're walking outside, maybe in a storm, or if it's a windy day, kind of blustery, you're doing yard work or anything, or certainly at the beach, you'll want to use a wind cap. The only time I ever really use one, to be honest, is when I'm in my car. If I'm smoking my pipe in my car, I love to use a wind cap because, if I'm rolling the window down or something, a lot of times it's real breezy in the vehicle. But also, within the wind caps on the top of the bowl, you can kind of set the pipe down in your console or something and not have to worry about the ashes, spilling out over into the console, or maybe on the, passenger seat or something like that. Wind caps are, they're very useful for a lot of different things.
Yeah, and I know that you're a big fan of enjoying your pipe while driving. I think that's crazy. But I know that a lot of our listeners are in the same boat as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just kind of a regular thing. And, we need to have a whole episode probably about, like, driving and smoking your pipe.
Let's have that one might end up being seriously a debate, because I might push fair back on that one. But I think that'd be a very interesting episode for sure.
That's fair. Yeah.
All right. So, like you said, the wind cap is pseudo customizable to fit most pipes.
Well, it's just got this little spring loaded thing on there, so it'll fit any small or medium sized bowl, and it'll fit a large bowl if the bowl is not too wide but is deep. And so, you just kind of have to worry about that.
Let me ask you what is probably a stupid question.
There are no stupid questions, just stupid people.
I qualify.
Right.
If I've got the wind cap, I mean, obviously it's very holy.
a holy wind cap.
It is a very holy wind cap. But the idea is that you would light first and then put the wind cap on, or would you actually light with the wind cap
on? It's not a stupid question. It's something you do have to worry about. Folks have, figured out ways to light their pipe through the wind cap. I'm not one of those folks. I have to light my pipe with the wind cap off. And then also you've got to think, okay, to keep your pipe lit, generally, what do? We tamp the ashes, right? You got to tamp that ash. And so when you're tamping your ash through your pipe smoke, you're going to have to remove your wind cap in order to tamp the ashes of your pipe. And so that's why I mentioned earlier, it's something to think about. You want a tobacco that's going to be easy to keep lit without tamping, something that maybe has the right amount of moisture content. Think of that really nice long smoke competition blend that you smoked one time. But maybe something with a nice amount of moisture that's just gonna kind of smolder there without having to tamp it regularly. I'm a fan of these real dry Virginia blends that just kind of burn like pine straw. I love them. I love blends like that. It just tastes hay like grassy tobacco. But a lot of times those things require more maintenance, throughout your smoke to kind of keep them lit. And so maybe a nice Cavendish or something that's got just a little casing will be helpful just in order to keep your pipe lit without having to constantly tamp it.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry. I got slightly distracted.
There's so many great tweets coming in. It's fantastic.
One of which is a unfortunate pigeon who's been poisoned. Dead pigeons notwithstanding, excellent, excellent content here, man.
Yeah. I just think there's a lot of good things to think about. The last thing I'll mention is you want to be sure to protect your pipe from the heat. Now I talked about that briefly earlier, but there's an incredible amount of heat when you're on the beach, and so you know, if you just, let's just say I brought this this Sheraton out to the beach and had it in my little leather pouch that I normally keep it in with my, you know, my little button up pouch that's got the tobacco and my tamper and lighter and all that other stuff in it. You know, if I did that and just laid it on the next to my beach chair, you know, on the side of the beach, you know, it's going to get too hot. It's going to, you know, the sun is going to beat down on that thing, on that pouch, and then the pipe is just going to get too hot. So it needs to be in an environment where it's a little more insulated from that heat. Put it in a cigar box, something simple. Yeah, something that's durable. You don't have to worry about it getting messed up. But something that's going to give the pipe enough room to get away from the side of that environment just so it doesn't get so hot. Cigar boxes work great for that kind of thing. Of course, you can put all your other knickknacks in there. It'll fit a couple of pipes that you've preloaded for the beach and your can even to put your, ashes in so you don't have to leave them on the beach and all that kind of stuff. So, but anyway, these are just some best practices. And share yours too. You know, we would love to kind of have your ideas on this thing, and hopefully you'll have the beach and pipe smoke of your life.
That's good, man. I would also just kind of offer up a in general beach PSA as well. If you're like me, you like to go walking along the beach.
That's right.
You know, there's always, you know, people like to play on the beach. They like to build sandcastles. They like to dig holes. And if you're not careful, you could accidentally step in one of those holes. So always watch where you're going, because trust me, beaches be tripping. Beaches be tripping, man.
They do.
All right. So there you go. Great advice, my friend. And, you know, I love that you mentioned that when you're considering what pipe to bring to the beach, you got to remember that you gotta have a certain kind of pipe.
No, that's right.
And you mentioned the corncob pipe.
That's right.
And you mentioned specifically corncob pipes that we know and love here, and that is, of course, corncob pipes from the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right. They're the best corncob pipes, obviously, in the world, and the most storied brand. And obviously, Missouri Meerschaums are great because they have such a wide variety of pipes. You know, you've got small and large bowls, thin and thick walls. You know, long stems and short stems. They have just an incredible variety, and they're all very high quality, particularly at an inexpensive price. So perfect for the beach, because, you know, if you happen to drop it in the lake with old Flipper out there, you know, they... all the dolphins that are listening to us right now understood exactly what you said.
They're, just lost all of our dolphin listeners.
All our dolphin listeners are like, man, that's the most terrible. It's like our poor Scottish listeners. They're just like, oh, no, we can't.
No, we don't have Scottish listeners anymore.
No, not anymore, right? You ran them all off. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
But, man, yeah, the Missouri Meerschaum corncob pipes, they're great because, obviously, if you take them out in that kind of environment, you know, they're just super durable. But then also, if you lose them, you're not out a whole fortune. And so, anyway, they're durable, smoke cool, and will be great for the beach environment.
You know, it's great. I was actually looking specifically through the wonderful pipes at Missouri Meerschaum and trying to think of, like, what of all of these, if I had to choose, what just, like, screams beach pipe? You know what I mean? Like something that you would actually have, maybe somebody standing out on a ledge looking over the shores and off into the distance and everything else and enjoying that pipe. And the one that I kind of, that stood out to me is kind of like a good beach pipe would be the Missouri Pride. Which beautiful
Missouri
pipe.
Pride. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Kind of a classic cut in terms of, you know, what you might think of as kind of a classic corncob pipe style. But, you know, there's a reason why people associate corncob pipes with, you know, the sea and with captains. And that reason may be Popeye the Sailor Man, but it's also because that classic pipe, I think it does fit the beach and fit the ocean. And yeah, so check it out. And hey, if you've got a Missouri Pride, be sure to smoke it this week. Take a selfie. We'll retweet those out. We always love sharing those out to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know that you love them for helping us make this show happen. So big ups to Missouri Meerschaum. Big ups to you guys for smoking your Missouri Meerschaum. And thank you to them for helping us make this show happen.
You did great, Bo.
I try.
You did great.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man, we've got a great pipe question in this week. This comes in from Darren from California. He says, "Hi, guys. Absolutely love the podcast and have been quite the addict over the past month. Haven't even received my first pipe and tobacco yet. I'm a beginner to pipe smoking, to the pipe smoking world. And when I mentioned it to my wife about possibly giving it a try, she completely lost it. To her, tobacco is the devil. All the same evil as, you know, cigarettes. And it was impossible trying to help her understand the difference. Maybe a psychologist can offer better advice, but I was hoping that you guys could help me out a bit and how to tread these dangerous grounds. And don't worry, I won't throw you guys under the bus. Much love." Again, that's from Darren in California. Now,
Darren, no, that's great.
This is what's great, Darren. Not only, you're not coming to us with this question in opposition or as an alternative to a psychologist, but because we've got John David Cole,
the failed psychologist.
But let's just put that fail to the side there.
I know, right. I mean, you know, it's, once a psychologist, always a psychologist, right?
That's, you offer free therapy at the door. We're behind that door right
now.
That's right.
No, Darren, I love this. This gives you the opportunity to let us take the heat. So let your wife, we can be the dartboard for you.
John David.
Bo's a little more sensitive, but... So, yeah, okay, you've got obviously this person that is the biggest part of your life that is concerned about you smoking a pipe. We understand, a lot of folks, when they think of tobacco nowadays, they immediately think of cigarettes. And so all tobacco goes into that pot, particularly people, that aren't familiar with any type of other premium tobacco products. So we're throwing out cigars, pipe tobacco, all those go into the evil, cigarette kind of cauldron that we've created as a society because of the special interest groups that love to divide and conquer. So let's just be very clear: a pipe is very different from a cigarette, and we've talked about this for years on Country Squire Radio. A pipe, obviously, you are taking a natural plant that has been altered at the most by some type of natural syrups or extracts, maybe some propylene glycol to keep it fresh. These are all food grade things that you would find at anything on the aisle at your grocery store that's been approved by the FDA and anything else. So you've got this pipe, you've got the tobacco that goes inside of it, and it is a natural product that you are not inhaling, although you are enjoying the flavor of, and it is, it does have nicotine, and that nicotine is interacting with you in, the ways that it does. But the difference is, and the key is that it doesn't have the added chemicals and carcinogens that cigarettes have. And so, you are not smoking your pipe in order to get a fix. That is not the goal. A pipe, on average, typically is not an addictive thing. If you ever do get addicted to your pipe, you mentioned it first in the first sentence of your question here. You said you've been an addict of Country Squire Radio over the past month. And the only thing you'll ever get addicted to with your pipe is the ritual of it. It's the ritual.
I thought you were going to say us.
Well, and us. But with your pipe, you're becoming addicted, if anything, to the ritual of it. It relaxes you. It's something you do in the morning with your cup of coffee and your newspaper, and it becomes your kind of special time to relax and chill out. It's something that if I ever go on a trip and have to leave for days at a time, I don't always bring my pipe with me. It's not something that I have to have, that I have any kind of cravings or hunger pains or any of that kind of stuff that comes with withdrawal. It's just a very it's a fundamentally different thing from smoking cigarettes. You know, the Country Squire, we are a premium tobacconist here in the Deep South. We've been here for 46 years. We don't even sell cigarettes. You know, we sell a few of the organic stuff that don't even, you know, count, like the Nat Sherman's. You know, they have additive free cigarettes that are very high quality and have natural tobacco in them, and they also cost $12 a pack. But most premium pipe smokers and retailers too that are committed to the hobby are not going to endorse that. It's just a different animal, and so
you've turned business like I want to praise you a little bit on this too, because I've seen you turn business away. Because people will come in looking for cigarettes.
No, we do it all the time.
We do
it all the time.
If I am ever here during business, hours, yeah. your primary traffic, that always happens.
Well, and this is something that, we're committed to, at least at the Country Squire. Now again, I wanna respect all our listeners that smoke cigarettes, that also enjoy a pipe. Look, we live in a free country, you do what you want. And we support that, and anything in moderation, typically is fine. So if you enjoy a cigarette, that's, we're not telling you to stop necessarily. But, at our shop, we don't want to be purveyors here of things that, enslave you. That's really important to us. And so, I have regular customers, that come here that have begged me for 3 and 4 years now to carry all kinds of different kind of tobacco products, because they buy them at other places. They're like, hey, look, if you carried this, we would love to buy this from you. You know, this would be something we would love to purchase from you to help you out. And that means the world to me. These people are, they might be willing to pay more for a pack of cigarettes here than they would at the Shell station down the street, because they love the community here at the Squire. They love what we do. They love the openness we're about and the family we've created. And that means the world to me. But, we're just not going to sell a product like that here at the shop that forces you to come back to it, for its own fix. And so that's just kind of our philosophy, and we are committed to that. So there's many other tobacconists that view it differently, but that's just not who we are. So fundamentally, the thing we want to pay the most attention to here is that cigarettes are very different from pipe tobacco and cigars. These are natural plants that you are enjoying for the flavor. It primarily the flavor and the ritual of the experience. And so, part of smoking the pipe is obviously selecting the tobacco, selecting the pipe you're going to smoke it out of, figuring out the tool you're going to light your pipe with and the tool you're going to tamp your pipe with, and all these sensory things that are real part of the romance of pipe smoking that put you in the same category as people like C.S. Lewis and Albert Einstein and J.R.R. Tolkien and things like that. So we respect that and honor that. I have gotten on my soapbox. I'm going to graciously step off now, but we would love for your wife and others to just look at the facts about pipe smoking and have an open mind about how it's much more nuanced and different compared to the world of cigarettes.
I'd also offer up, we did an episode a while back called Separating the Stigma.
Yeah.
Where we actually talked specifically about the difference between, kind of separating the idea of pipes and cigars and cigarettes as well. We recently revisited that one with kind of an emphasis on showing some love to our friends in the cigar world, especially. The original Separating the Stigma episode. Go back and listen to that. See if that might be of interest. You can just do a search at countrysquireradio.com. Or if you, if you become a patron at just $1 an episode, that unlocks our full archive of almost 4 years worth of episodes. And so you'll find it there as well. So one way or the other, check that out. Hopefully it can help. And let us know how it goes. I'd be curious to hear your story for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Quick fire with the Squire.
Quick fire questions.
Ow!
All right, man. We got some quick fire questions from someone who I always love whenever his name pops up on thispipelife.com forums. That is the Ghosts of Pompeii.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's great.
Yeah. Always love going through these.
Ghosts of Pompeii.
Here we go. He's got some new ones for us.
All right. Bring them.
All right. Mutton chops or Van Dyke beard?
I don't know what a Van Dyke beard is, but certainly not mutton chops. So whatever Van Dyke Beard is, I'm gonna go with that.
Yeah. So Van Dyke Beard.
Can you click on some images, maybe?
Yeah. Let's see, I'm doing a quick style of facial hair in the 17th century.
Definitely that. Oh yeah.
Okay, so this is Christian Bale's goatee looking thing that he had in The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, you kind of got this pointy goatee thing going on with the mustache and the flavor saver, as it were. I don't know. I'm gonna go with that.
Okay, I can't pull that off. I'm gonna go with mutton chops.
Okay, fair.
I feel like mutton chops, that's a bold move in this day and age. But the Van Dyke beard is clearly making a comeback.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, so there you go. Let's see. We've also got stop motion animation or CGI.
CGI. CGI is a lot easier for me to watch. I don't know, stop motion animation. I think in the middle of watching it, I am constantly being reminded that I'm watching stop motion animation and not, you know, CGI. You kind of get lost in it. You think it's real, and so I don't know. It's just less. Less obtrusive to the experience, I think.
Yeah, it depends on the CGI, but I mean, if you're stacking it up, I mean, even the worst CGI looks. I'll say this. Maybe somebody will prove me wrong, but I would think, to my knowledge anyway, even the worst CGI looks better than the best stop motion claymation animation type stuff.
Yeah, that's fair.
Although, you know, there is, what was it? Is it Jason and the Argonauts where he fights the skeletons?
You're asking someone that has no idea.
Fair enough. Okay, Queen Alien versus Jurassic Park T-Rex.
I guess the alien.
I mean, it's more like it moves around and everything, but that Jurassic Park T-Rex, it's
pretty hardcore.
It's pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
Especially if you consider, did you see Jurassic World?
I have not yet.
Okay, I don't want to spoil it for you.
Yeah, but you're about to.
Well, I'll just say that the T-Rex that's in Jurassic World is the original T-Rex from Jurassic Park.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of fun, fun cool. thing there. All right, Lord of the Rings versus Harry Potter.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, definitely.
We don't even have to have a discussion on that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then finally, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups or York Peppermint Patties.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. I want to know that as a Yorkist, I love and appreciate you, but I have to go with the Peanut Butter Cup. But Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, peanut butter in general is very hard for me to resist, and I'm a big fan.
You're killing me here.
You're so divided.
You're killing me here, Ghost of Pompeii. Okay, so this is very difficult for me, because obviously I have a lot invested in the York Peppermint Patty.
That's right.
Brand.
Heritage-wise.
Yeah, not financially. I have no money to invest anywhere.
Right. But your family name is kind of on the, it's on the line, right?
It's almost as if, like, my name was on every single one.
No.
Of those candy bars.
No, I mean, it's almost like that. Now,
it's almost like that.
What if it were York Peppermint Patty versus a Lancaster
caramel?
Lancaster peanut butter cup.
Does Lancaster make a peanut butter cup?
No, I'm just saying.
Oh, no.
What if that were the case?
Then I'm sure it'd be the worst peanut butter cup you've ever had in your entire
just
life.
Just foul. Just awful.
I would stomp it out of existence, and we would do everything we can to just put it back in the ground where it belongs. But no, this is Reese's peanut butter cups. And so that's where things get difficult.
That's difficult.
I love some Reese's, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Just answer the question.
This is difficult, man. This is some serious stuff. I'm gonna go with Reese's. I'm gonna go with Reese's.
Okay, that's fair. Look, we're not looking at the name. We're looking at the merit of the candy on its own.
And we're looking at that because Lancaster is not in the picture.
It's not in the mix.
Because if that was the case, then we would be looking at the name.
And then it'd be done.
It'd be dead to me.
Right.
Yeah. All right, man. Great. Great quick fire questions from our friend Ghost of Pompeii over at thispipelife.com. Thispipelife.com, an amazing online community. If you've not joined yet, why not? Why, is this your first episode? Hey, welcome if that's the case. Head over to thispipelife.com. You join the amazing community that exists there. And when you do so, use the code CSR when you register. It helps out the show. It lets them know that you heard about it from this podcast. And the great thing is, it's absolutely free to do, but you get such an amazing experience on the other side. It's very visually pleasing. They've got a lot of pictures. They're very good about getting interactive on social. In fact, actually, I was noticing on their Twitter handle earlier today, they've been doing their own little kind of quick Spotify questions going over at thispipelife.com. So y'all be sure to check them out. Again, use the code CSR when you register yourself at thispipelife.com.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
Listener feedback. Okay, so I mentioned last week, the tee up for this episode, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Was all based on, you know, the feedback that we got about the whole idea of smoking at the beach. Why don't you go ahead and read what we got here from Chris?
You just want me to read it because it's a paragraph.
It's very, very long.
This is from Chris. He says, some of my favorite pipe memories are beach memories. There's something kind of amazing about contentedly puffing my pipe while listening to the surf and watching the breakers roll in. I smoke my pipe to relax, and a beach is a great place for that. But I also use my pipe and tobacco to help me put a pin in a memory on a specific time and place, which is why I almost always travel with a pipe. So I guess the pipe kind of is a totem for him. You know, it points out to this specific time and place. It's interesting. He says, that tobacco and pipe will carry the ghost of those memories and that trip going forward. For me, trips to the coast tend to be family trips or special occasions, so I usually smoke my pipe whenever I'm on the beach. To this day, I can't smoke Peterson's Irish Flake without feeling the Pacific breeze and thinking about my daughter playing in the sand on a trip to celebrate my wife's grandmother's 80th birthday. Wow, that's so vivid and awesome. He says, if it's windy and you're concerned about your briar, well, that's what they make cops for, which we obviously talked about.
Exactly,
so,
yeah.
Don't miss out on making a powerful memory out of fear. Man, what a great comment. And I think so appropriate for our topic tonight. But, Chris, you kind of make me think of those times where, you hear a certain song and the song kind of brings you back to a time and a place where, I was with these people and I remember these experiences. And, you have these kind of song or even smells, that kind of transport you back to a certain time and a place. And it sounds like you've created a lot of those with your pipe on the beach. And, that's really great. So thanks for that feedback.
Chris also took a great picture of his pipe, like in the sand. And Chris, I hope it's all right. I'm going to include that picture in the metadata for this episode as well, so you'll be able to see that because I think it's so cool. We also got from Nelson Pigeon who says, "I have smoked my pipe by the seawall many times. It's not always windy at the beach or by the water. Smoke when you can. Use your wind cap if it's a little breezy, or just wait until later to smoke your pipe." So. Good, great thoughts from Nelson as well. Look, actually, if you go to Facebook.com, you'll see kind of the comments going there. And I'm sure once we post this episode, the conversation will continue. So we want to thank all of y'all for sending in those thoughts, that feedback. You have some choice tweets. I see you going through the...
tonight, the Twitter sphere is very active. We've got some folks that are freaked out by Mr. Jordan that is looking directly into the camera.
Yeah, it is creepy.
Other people that are praising Mr. Jordan for holding a wonderful amount of Boodle's gin tonight. Someone, I think, was that Hoctor the Love Doctor? He said, I want to make sure I don't want to misattribute someone here. He says, bikinis at the beach, the reason wind caps were invented. we've just on and on and on a lot of great tweets and videos and memes and everything else. So I think that's why we love the live show. if you're tuning in on the podcast and haven't watched or participated in the live show, it really makes Country Squire Radio extra special. So tune in with us when you can.
It's certainly an experience, to say the least.
there's nothing like live shaming. Like did they have poodle flavored boodles?
They got a meme. Yeah,
there's always a great meme of Bo York.
Yeah, but why? Did I say I was going to eat a poodle once? I've noticed that we've had like a couple of memes lately.
No, you did. I specifically remember you mentioned
it. I have to go back and listen.
And even Varge sends in a gif of Pope Francis being covered up by his. By his little veil thing.
By his wind cap.
Holy wind cap.
That's great. Well, we do love the live show. And by the way, for those who are tuning in via YouTube on the delayed on the delayed video. Whenever you see me look into the camera, I'm actually, it's me communicating the live show because I saw that tweet that came through. And so it's typically the if my reactions seem out of place with what John David's saying, it's because I'm silently communicating to the tweets as they come in.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But one way or the other, we do encourage you, if you get a chance, join us for a live show sometime. We won't be live at our normal time next week.
That's right.
Due to some traveling, we may be going live on Sunday night.
That is the goal, tentatively.
We'll let you know.
Yeah.
We'll let you know. But one way or the other, so stay tuned for updates on that. But you can tune in live at countrysquireradio.com. We'll update you via Facebook and Twitter. Always a great way to get in touch with us. You can follow our personal accounts. I'm at The Real Beau York.
I'm at John David Cole. Or you can get us at the shop at @_countrysquire.
Of course, the show's handle is at Squire Radio. And again, all of that contact information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com, where you'll find a link to go and join the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club. Another way to do that is just by heading to patreon.com/countrysquireradio, or if you're listening to the podcast on the Satchel Podcast Player, click Be a Patron. It's right there on the screen. Just tap it. It'll take you there. And we'd love your support. It is what is keeping us going. And the more that we can get, the more security we have that we will continue going on for many, many more years to come.
That's right. That's right.
And actually, speaking of which, I got to throw this in here and right before we close out.
Yeah.
We've mentioned it last couple of episodes, but we are getting very close to episode 200. In fact, I believe this will be our 192nd episode.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I have sat down with you for 192 times.
I know. Well,
to do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's golly.
But here's the thing.
You know, and I haven't had my antidepressants upped in a very long time, so that's really great.
I think that's good for our relationship. I will say this, though. We are getting close to that episode 200, so
that's exciting,
if you got
man.
Thoughts,
golly.
Let us know. We want to make it special, but we don't know how. So help us come up with some fun stuff, and we'll make it a blast. But that's coming.
That's exciting, man. Wow.
All right, man. Well, hey, life's a beach, and so are we. So
don't trip on it.
Let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.